All the projections are coming in, and the expectations of LSU football soaring through the roof. One publication, well, we'll tell you where they feel the Tigers will end up. The NBA Summer League is in full strength, and the Pelicans, with some new breed of talent on their team, showed why they were worthy high draft picks. What is the SEC going to be like from the quarterback position? We'll have an expert analyst decide that. And we'll go back in the time machine. Where in the world is Josh Booty today? All these stories and more, jam-packed today, Tuesday, July 9th, 2019.
Alexander Walker, Williams, up top.
Nice play. A kid like that in college can get lost on a team because he's not an overly skilled guy. And college coaches are not going to run plays for him. But because he's athletic, he's long, and a natural talent just takes over.
Anjual with the mid-range. Joji with the board, and that might do it for China. Joji fouled, and the Chinese national team on the verge of a win here.
Oh. Heading towards the scoreboard up there in left field, and it hit way off, about midway through that scoreboard. For a 400, and here's another one in that direction. He's definitely put on the most impressive power show tonight.
Ah, welcome. Oh, the home run derby. I know he didn't win it, but he should have. Vlad Guerrero Jr., what a monster. What a show. It was great. Welcome. How are you? It is Tuesday, and it's great to be with you. Jordy Hultberg here. So thankful that you are there, along with my producer extraordinaire, CD, back in the 237 Roost Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB 1037 The Game, and around the world on 1037thegame.com. Major League Baseball takes center stage. It's the Midsummer Classic. Alex Bregman, DJ LeMahieu, lots of other Astros. Justin Verlander on the bump. So it's a fun, fun night. I'm so glad they did away with the winner gets home field advantage. I'm so glad they did away with that. It just really made no sense. It's supposed to be an all-star game. You let everybody play. You have fun. And you let the players do their thing. So I'm glad they got wise and got away from that one. You know, we have so much to offer. Thanks to the people behind the scenes that do so much work at 103.7 The Game with the website and everything that they do with it. We've got some preseason rankings online at 103.7thegame.com. And the old football power index is out, which factors into account a team's performance over the past four seasons, with the most emphasis on last season, returning starters at quarterback, on offense, on defense, whether a team has a returning head coach, and recruiting rankings over the past four seasons. Put that all in the blender, you spit it out, and you got Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, and LSU number 4. And then they run a simulation of 10,000 different scenarios. 10,000. And they come up with projections on games and wins and losses. Because they play against Alabama and because Georgia's in the same, it just shows you how tough the SEC is. LSU's chances of winning the SEC are slim, 11.4% due to the challenging schedule. But that early season showdown against Texas on the road in week two, This Football Power Index gives LSU a 74.4% chance of beating Texas. Just goes to show you, you got to play Florida, Auburn, Mississippi State, Alabama, Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M. It's just brutal. But here's what they have. Georgia Southern, August 31st. That's 96.7% chance of winning. You know how this is going to go. At Texas, September 7th. LSU, according to the FPI, a 74.4% chance of winning. Week 3, Northwestern State comes to town, and that's the... I don't know if you can get any higher than 99.8%. I don't know if anybody gets 100%, but 99.8% winning percentage on that one. On the road at Vanderbilt, LSU with an 84% chance to win that one. Utah State comes to Tiger Town. The Tigers should go 5-0 at that time with a 98% chance of winning versus Utah State. Finally, Florida comes to town after all those years in Gainesville, and the FPI has LSU going 6-0 with a 70.3% chance to beat Dan Mullen, Felipe Franks, and the rest of the game. You got to go to Mississippi State. Tough place to play of late. LSU going 7-0 with a 65.3% chance of winning. So, we'll see. That could be, you know, that's not much margin of error. Auburn comes to town, and LSU has a 71.8% chance. Going back, this FBI has LSU splitting between the Gators and the Bulldogs. So, after they beat Auburn, they've got LSU at 7-1 overall. 7-1. It's always tough. Auburn, you know, they know each other well. Then you got to go to Alabama November the 9th. And, of course, that's where things, you know, and I'm just going to tell you like they say it. Alabama with LSU has a 25.2% chance of winning. And the word is, until LSU proves it can beat, heck, even score against Alabama, the computer simulation model isn't going to favor the Tigers in this matchup. It's always the toughest game of the season for LSU. That's just the way it is. Ole Miss, LSU goes to 8-2. They don't expect much on the road from the Rebels. LSU with an 83% chance of winning, a 94% chance of winning against Arkansas, and a 73.4% chance of winning versus A&M at home on November the 30th, having LSU finish the season at 10-2. I don't think LSU fans would be happy with 10-2 this year. I just don't. I think they would be upset if they lost to either Florida or Mississippi State. I think they expect to win every game, except when you have to go to Tuscaloosa. So that's just one projection. It just kind of shows you a difference one year can make. It just does. A proven quarterback. A head coach with 2 feet on the ground who's secure and not looking over his shoulder. A great defense. They're going to have that. With some star power. They may have as many as 4 first-round picks before it's all said and done if they all stay healthy. Another really good recruiting class. Schedule more favorable this year than it was a year ago, and they still won 10 games overall. This has LSU 10-2. They go to a good bowl game. They win that one. That's 11 wins. Then Tua leaves, and maybe, just maybe. Right? Maybe, just maybe. But you got to play the game. We'll see. But it just goes to show you that the projections are up there. And that's always a good thing. Let me tell you what we have on the program today. Will Guillory, the Athletic, will join us in just a few minutes. Summer League going on. Pelicans. We'll find out the latest. Say their draft choices all signed so they could go play. And Jackson Hayes had the dunk of the day. My goodness. I don't know if you saw it, but eyes at the level of the rim, elbow at the level of the rim, an arm almost to the top of the backboard. It is scary. Scary. So we'll talk about that with Will Guillory. Matt Wyatt will join us. He's our quarterback whisperer. How good is the league, the SEC, when it comes to quarterback play, and where does he have Joe Burrow ranked and his thoughts on Joe Burrow? Nobody breaks down quarterback play better than Matt Wyatt. Andrew Lopez will join us in hour number two after we do our daily Hot Topics segment, and then we'll check in. He was a superstar in high school, won every award, more going up against the likes of Jake Delhomme and Peyton Manning. Was offered a signing bonus of $1.6 million to play baseball for the newly formed Florida Marlins. He went and played baseball for 4 or 5 years, had enough, came back to play quarterback at LSU. Where in the world is Josh Booty today? We'll talk with him in hour number two. It's all coming your way. Sit back and relax. It's Tuesday. It's the dog days of summer, but we're going to make it happen here on the Jordy Helper Show, brought to you by ShopRite, Tobacco Plus discount outlets. Over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They keep on growing and growing. Why? Because people want them. Because they've got everything you need. Everything you need. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. When we come back, we'll get things started. Will Guillory, the Athletic, in Viva Las Vegas. Talking hoops next. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game. 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
Who's got game? And who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. The Jordy Show. On a Tuesday, bigger and better than ever. Dog days of summer are here. We're efforting to get to Will Guillory of the Athletic. He had a big, Vegas Summer League. They had a big athletic meeting going on, and he may be detained just a little bit, but we will press on. Summer League going on, and with these trades, it just got finalized. After, everybody waiting for Kawhi, what's he going to do? When he finally commits and says he's going to the Clippers, then all the dominoes fall into place. So all the contracts are signed, and so Jackson Hayes and the rest can go join up with the Summer League team. And they took on the Chicago Bulls. He hadn't practiced, hadn't done anything. He just shows up, and he goes up, and he showed his – now, look. He showed his versatility, showed some skills. It's Summer League. It's the Chicago Bulls. It's not like you're playing the Milwaukee Bucks or Kawhi or LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, and you're not playing Denver or Portland or all the other great teams in the West. But still, it's a basketball play. And the fact that he was able to do that bodes very, very well. Clint, I think Will is ready now if you want to – oh, no. Okay, never mind. It's all good. We'll do that another time. So we'll just fill in the time here with that. But it's just it shows you. Look, the Pels have depth, and it's going to be very interesting to see how Alvin Gentry utilizes this, because you can have two groups, and the second group that gets in your reinforcements, your non-starters shouldn't fall that far below what the starters do. They should have enough scoring emphasis to earn the faith and the trust of the coaching staff. How many times in the past have you seen, you take out this guy, you take out that guy, and there's no scoring punch, and you're trying to steal minutes in the course of a marathon season, and you just fall behind. Let me tell you about the West now. You get a bad 10-game stretch, you're done. You're out of it. You're not going to be able to compete. So that's just the way it goes. So to have depth is really, really good. Frank Jackson played himself out of summer league ball. He had 30 points in one game, and they said, we don't need to see you play anymore. We're not going to let all these other teams look at you and try to get you from us or getting a scouting report on you. So we're just going to kind of hide you. We don't need you to play in the summer league. Don't need Zion Williamson to play in the summer league. You're looking to fill spots on your G League team, and you're looking to see who else is out there playing and playing well, and that will help for the future. So it's a who's who type of thing out there, and it's amazing. You go back to that Friday night game last week with Zion playing in his first game. They had 20,000 people show up in a basketball arena for a glorified scrimmage. 20,000. And they were all there to see the number one pick. That's what this guy brought. The NBA will be so thankful. Every team in the league will be so thankful, because when the Pelicans come to town, it'll be sold out, because everybody wants to see this kid play. And you don't get to see that very, very often. However, the Pels are so much more than that. And we've got a soundbite here. David Griffin talking about, you know, he said he's trying to deflect pressure off of Zion. He's trying to deflect pressure. So he's called it time after time Drew Holiday's team. And Drew Holiday is in the prime of his career. And remember, his wife was going through a terrible, terrible illness, and he took a leave of absence. And the Pelicans were very faithful to him. They bent over backwards and honored him, kept paying him, and said, take all the time you need. He had a leave of absence. A leave of absence. And that stuck with Drew Holiday. And when he came back, he was a man possessed. And he's put back-to-back years together. And David Griffin pulled no punches. Listen to what he said about Drew Holiday. Listen up.
I do, and nobody thought Steve Nash was, and he was two-time MVP. And right, people would have thought we were insane for even uttering that notion. Players in this league are so gifted. When you're as good as Drew Holiday is, what makes you take the next step is just your vision of self. And sometimes you need to be given permission to dominate people. And in his situation with Anthony around, I think he was always sort of waiting as though it was Anthony's job. And now Drew knows it's his job, and he's ready to do that.
Ready to be an MVP. So once again, he wouldn't be saying this if he didn't think Drew Holiday would welcome it, accept the challenge, and go from there. Is David Griffin done? Maybe, maybe not. They still, you know, they've got 16 players on their roster right here, right now. You can only carry 15, and you're not going to play more than 10 at the most during a game. So something's going to happen, and what they do and how they come about it, there's no telling. No telling what they're going to do, but they're going to do something. But again, this isn't a team ready to win a Western Conference. This is a team that right here, right now, based upon what's going on in the West with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Denver Nuggets, the Portland Trail Blazers. I mean, there's the San Antonio Spurs. I know I'm leaving some teams out. Dallas is going to be better. Houston. I mean, there's a lot of spots available that are taken already. Oklahoma City is going to drop. There's no question they're going to drop. That would be the one team that made the playoffs that – that's not going to make the playoffs this year. Somebody can take their place. Who's that going to be? Might be the Pels. A lot of things have to fall into place. A lot of things. Zion has to be all that and then some. And Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram have to take quantum leaps in their game. Josh Hart has to come back, become that shooter that he was prior to his injury. Jahlil Okafor has to continue to come back and get better. Jackson Hayes has to make a leap. Frank Jackson has to get better. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to fall into place. A lot of things. They've got to get better defensively. They got to rebound the basketball. And outside shooters got to make shots. It's a catch-and-shoot league. Catch-and-shoot league. You got to shoot it. You got to make it. I like the Pels' chances. I like LSU's chances this year in the college football season. I really, really do. Again, preseason talk is wonderful. Expectations are great. You got to get through camp uninjured. You got to keep your key players injury-free. And you got to get them ready for 12 Saturdays. Everything else doesn't matter. They got to be ready to go 12 Saturdays out of the year. And it all starts at the quarterback spot. And I think because LSU's returning a quarterback who ended the season as well as he did, the expectations have increased exponentially with him. At this time a year ago, Joe Burrow wasn't even on campus. Now he's had a season under his belt, a spring under his belt, a fall and summer sessions continuing under his belt, and he's ready for another fall. Matt Wyatt is a quarterback whisperer. He'll tell us his thoughts on Joe Burrow and the rest of the quarterbacks in the SEC next here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
My heart is black and my lips are cold.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. The Jordy Hultberg Show brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. I call him the quarterback whisperer. He breaks down quarterback play and dissects it as well as anybody that does it in the business. He is the color analyst for the Mississippi State Bulldogs, and he does a whole bunch of other things as well. Kind enough, on his vacation with his toes in the sand, enjoying some fun and sun, to join us today, Matt Wyatt. Matt, I had no idea. Thank you so much, buddy. And pop open a cold one for me, will you?
Yeah, Jordy, I'm happy to do that. I sure am. You know, and I tell you what, it does my heart good anytime. You know, like I come on your show and you're playing Boston as the bumper coming back in. That's great. So I'm happy to join you all the way around.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank my producer extraordinaire for that one. But everybody is saying from top to bottom, the SEC is without doubt, hands down, the best conference in the country. That doesn't mean a certain team can't beat another team, but top to bottom. So I wanted to talk to the quarterback whisperer. So much depends upon the quarterback play. Top to bottom, how do you rank the quarterbacks coming into this season for the SEC?
Yeah, well, you don't beat around the bush, do you, Jordy? I mean, we're just going to get right to it.
Right to it, baby.
It's not as easy as I think, you know, people might think. I still think that Tua Tagovailoa is the number one passer, the number one playmaker in the league at that position, you know, just so impressed with him. And as it goes, you know, you have a hiccup or two in your second year in the league, and he didn't win a national championship this time, so now there are naysayers. But when you watch him over the long haul, the way he gets the ball out, the way it's on time, the way it's accurate, you know, I think he's number one. But Jake Fromm is a winner. He's right up there. That kind of goes without saying. And those two guys have such great players around him.
Let me ask you a question about Tua.
Okay.
Now that Jalen Hurts is gone, not that he ever looked over his shoulder, but did he look over his shoulder maybe once or twice?
Well, you know, I guess depending on personality, Jordy, that's always a possibility. You know, and you you know, we all approach things differently in life. You know, you're different than me. I'm different than you. You'd have to really know those guys. Here's the way I think those kinds of things play out more often than not, though, and that is competition is good. And I don't care if it's uncomfortable. Sometimes uncomfortable competition is the best competition you can have, especially a quarterback. And I think that's what they had at times at Alabama. I mean, don't you think? That was obvious. I know you remember, you know, the first time in forever that an Alabama player had said anything to the media that wasn't flattering about his own coaching staff. And that's what Jalen Hurts did. So, yeah, okay, fine. It's uncomfortable. But if I'm a coach, I kind of want it to be that way. I want it to be heated. I don't want it to be nasty and divide people. But I want you to really desire and want to beat the other guy, because that means you're going to be better. And so my only question is, without Jalen Hurts there applying the pressure, what's this offseason going to be like for Tua? You know, how heated is that going to be? I think the dynamic they had was actually a good thing for Alabama in the past.
Matt Wyatt, kind enough to join us. You mentioned the two quarterbacks, and that's, I think, with the SEC Media Days rapidly approaching next week, you're going to have Alabama picked as the favorite in the West. You're going to have Georgia picked as the favorite in the East, and they've got the two best quarterbacks. Now is when it becomes interesting from there. And who do you have as your third best quarterback going into the league this year?
Yeah, that is a really fun conversation to have. Because you got some great players that are maybe up for that spot. But, you know, there's a couple of guys that I really like that I think probably don't get enough credit. And they're guys who are returning. And Joe Burrow at LSU is one of those. Okay. And the other, I think, Felipe Franks at Florida, part of that is, yeah, I'm doing some projecting in my own head. I realize that at times last year, you know, not flashy or fantastic, but really solid. I felt like I saw Felipe Franks getting better. I felt like he was better at the end of the year than he was at the beginning. You know, you go watch him in that loss early on to Kentucky and then watch the tape of that win over Michigan. Even though the numbers aren't huge, he's a different quarterback from a confidence standpoint at the end of the year. So the reason I say I'm projecting a little bit on Felipe Franks is because I know what Dan Mullen does with quarterbacks. Everybody that has played quarterback for Dan Mullen over the last 10 to 15 years improves every year. Everybody that plays quarterback for Dan Mullen plays better than people expect them to. And I think Felipe Franks is going to be no different. And, Jordy, what I really like about Joe Burrow is I just see a winner. You know, he was never that 350, 400-yard-a-game guy. I know he had a big game passing against Rice, a big one against UCF, but for the most part, they didn't ask him to go out there and throw it 30 times and throw for 350 yards, but he did what they needed him to do, and he was a bounce-back guy, a tough guy. You know, he's on the road in his first ever SEC game at Auburn, down with 2 minutes left. He gets popped on a third-down play at midfield, Auburn celebrating, and what does Joe Burrow do? He stands back in there on fourth down against pressure, throws a strike, complete for a first down, kick a field goal, and win. And then later in the year, Joe he's at Florida. They got a chance to do the same thing, go win with a field goal, and he throws a pick six. Florida wins the game. How did he respond? The very next week, he leads them to a win over Georgia. You know, and he wasn't flashy in the Georgia game. What he was just he made plays. And I just see a guy who's tough. I think his team believes in him, and I think that if he makes another step this year, just in terms of consistency and hits a few more plays, I think he could easily be that third guy in the conference.
Dude, for 57.8%, I know LSU wants to get him into the 60s somehow, some way. Nearly 2,900 yards, 16 touchdowns to only 5 picks.
Yep.
That's a pretty good ratio, and he – As he got a little bit healthier and as his backup, Miles Brennan, got healthier, they kind of turned him loose a little bit. And against A&M and UCF in the Fiesta Bowl, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he really was good. And, you know, and again, made clutch plays, like when you're up against it in an overtime game against A&M. And you can't really, it's hard to measure clutch, but your teammates feel it. You know, they know it. And I felt like, Jordy, two things that you're touching on. When he won that game at Auburn, I felt like from then on, like everybody in that locker room is on board. This is our guy. We're playing with this guy. And you have to have that atmosphere in order to go win. What do? They won 10 games. And then the other thing is, you know, leading in the off season, and he's doing that also. Another thing that Joe did, I watched the tape. There are a lot of times when he's standing in the pocket, eyes downfield, about to make a throw, even though he's getting pressured and going to get hit, but he never shied away from contact, and it didn't break down his footwork, and teammates respect that. And keep this in mind. You talk about the 58% completion. You know, how many times is he throwing easy completions on bubble screens? You know, there are a lot of guys who can go out here and throw 65% when 10 of my 20 completions are behind the line of scrimmage.
That's true.
I liked what he did within their scheme and what they were asking him to do.
You played the position. He's getting a new set of eyes and a new set of thoughts from Joe Brady, who, I mean, if you're going to learn how to play offense, it's pretty good to go with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And this RPO thing is coming into play, I think. And the fact that he did what he did coming into fall camp. He didn't have a summer. He didn't have all that. He's one of these grad transfer guys. It's kind of remarkable what he did. And I believe, and I agree with you, there's something about that guy that got that your teammates will run through a wall for. And I think that's what he has earned. And I'm with you. I like what he brings.
I like it, too. And, you know, at LSU, you're always going to have a roster that is loaded enough that in order to win, you don't have to be the star at quarterback.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. And, look, man, when you have that group of running backs and you got those receivers coming in every year, you're loaded on defense every year, your teammates respect that as a quarterback, you recognize, look, my job is to just, number one, take care of the ball and get it in the hands of everybody else. It's not to be the star. My job is not to draw attention. And that's the way I see Joe going about his business, and I have so much respect for that. And you're right, an off-season, a spring, all of that, I don't think the RPO stuff's going to be any problem for him because he ran it in high school. His high school numbers are through the roof. And I'll tell you this, Jordy. After I posted the Joe Burrow film study video, I got a comment on the YouTube channel from a guy that said, hey, I coached against Joe Burrow in high school, and he might be the smartest high school player that we ever faced. And, you know, when you have that reputation.
I'll take that.
In an RPO offense, man, you'll take that all day.
I'll take that. Matt Wyatt, kind enough to join us. Let's talk about at your place with a Louisiana native, Keaton Thompson, under you know Joe Moorhead, ranked as one of the best offensive coordinators in college football prior to getting the gig in Starkville. What do you see in Thompson? How big of a step do you think he's going to make this year?
Well, I'll tell you, Jordy, a lot of people are kind of just automatically counting him out. In their conversation, I say a lot of people, I mean out in the media and on message boards and stuff, a lot of people count him out because they went out and brought in Tommy Stevens, this one-year grad transfer from Penn State. I don't think it's wise to count him out because you've seen it. Keaton, at every level he's ever played, he just scores points.
He gets them
in the end zone. And every chance they've given him at State, as a freshman, he had to start in the bowl game against Lamar Jackson at Louisville because Nick Fitzgerald was hurt. And he outplayed Lamar Jackson in a bowl win. To start last season, Nick Fitzgerald was suspended for one game. Keaton started the game to begin the year last year. He accounted for 7 touchdowns. He ran 2 and threw 5. It wasn't always pretty, and sometimes it was risky, and he just kind of maybe got lucky on a throw or two. He just gets them in the end zone. So I think to count him out is silly. I think that it's not coach speak that they really do want a heightened competition at that position, and I don't think they felt like they had anybody old enough yet in that room already that could challenge Keaton and push him. And so I think that's one of the big things that you can watch at State. It's a sure enough competition at that position. It's not granted to anybody. and it'll be week to week in August.
Yeah. Matt Wyatt, kind enough to join us. One more, we'll get you out of here. You talked about how effective Dan Mullen is in getting quarterbacks to improve year by year. A lot of people say the same thing about Jimbo Fisher, one of the best quarterback gurus in college football. Kellen Mond showed some marked improvement last fall.
Yep.
Is he ready to take another step forward? Because that makes A&M really dangerous.
Yeah, I think he probably is. One thing that I don't know this, I'm not in their room, but I would guarantee you that one thing Jimbo is really preaching and working on with Kellen is being comfortable in the pocket and being okay with getting hit. You know, if you're going to play college football at that position, getting hit by opposing players can't be something that bothers you.
That's
it's
right.
Got to be, you know, part of the game. And what you see with Kellen is a guy who, yes, because he can really run and knows it, sometimes he wants to leave too quick. Other times he wants to kind of adjust what he's doing back there and the timing on throws based on whether or not he's getting pressured. You kind of have to be like Joe Burrow. You got to stand in there and just get hit and throw it and then pop back up. And, yeah, it hurts, but it feels a lot better if you complete it. They're working on him, I think, to become more of that steadfast guy, stand in there, run the plays we call, and we're not going to, you know. And the other thing is, too, throwing the ball into traffic. So they've got, you know, some stuff that they can improve with him. Jimbo's a guy who, right, like a lot like Dan Mullen, a lot of pressure on his guys in practice, because he wants the game to be a lot easier than practice. And that's one thing that Mullen and Jimbo Fisher both have in common.
Well, it should be interesting. A lot of good quarterbacks, a lot of good teams in this thing. I don't know. It should be a wild ride, man. And that LSU-Texas game, second week of the season,
it's
got a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that one because – you got everything. You got a Texas team that beat Georgia in a bowl game. Yeah, Georgia was kind of disinterested, but still it's a good Texas team improving, and you're at their place. And frankly, Joe Burrow showed it last year. We'll go on the road in front of 80,000 in Auburn and other places, and we'll go beat you. So I can't wait for that one.
Yeah. Just tell me what it looks like from your view right here, right now. Just tell me what you're looking at, please.
Break my heart. Yeah, I'll tell you. Okay, so, you know, white sandy beaches on the Alabama coast. I have come back into the air conditioning and looking out the window because it's brutally hot, as you well know.
Yes.
And we got a little thunder shower coming in from the west, blowing in here, going to cool us off, going to eat some lunch, and then head right back out there and, you know, send sunscreen. Forward any sunscreen you have. I need it all.
Oh, don't wear that Mississippi State hat inside the Floribama, okay? They may not like you there.
If you find me in the Floribama, things have gone way sideways, Jordy. I promise you
that. We can't relive our youth? We cannot relive our youth? Come on.
No, my back reminds me of that every day. We cannot relive it.
Matt, have a great vacation, and we look forward to talking to you when LSU and the Bulldogs tee it up. It's always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure too, Jordy. See you.
Take care, Matt Wyatt. Kind enough to join us on his vacation. We're going to take a time out. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one, the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana's sports station.
You're listening to the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
Welcome back. 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, Matt Wyatt had some good things to say about Joe Burrow. That's awesome. Clint, I got to ask you a question. Did you see that the Best of Acadiana came out? All kinds of topics and restaurants and health care and dog care and all kinds of. They didn't have our show on there, man. What's wrong with them?
I don't know,
they
Jordy.
A category.
I don't know, Jordy. We're gonna have to talk to them for 2020 to have that. You know.
Yeah, I mean, gee whiz, gotta have best sports talk show out
exactly,
there.
You know. I think we could definitely 103.7 The Game would sweep that hands down.
Maybe that's why they did it. They didn't do it. They didn't want to have total domination. That's all I can think of. Anyway, got some interesting things though. I mean, I gotta go to Rockin' Bowl. That sounds like fun. You ever been there?
I have not been there. I don't normally go out downtown, but I definitely that's on the list of things I need to go wind up doing in the not too distant future.
Best live music. You can bowl and listen to good live music. Man, that sounds like fun. Anyway, the advertiser came out with the best of Acadiana. They got about a million categories. No best sports radio show, sports talk show. They didn't have a category for it. I got to go talk to them. I got to give them a piece of my mind and figure out what it's all about. Looking forward to talking to Josh Booty in hour number two. He was back in 1993, he was quarterback at Evangel High School. He was the first high school quarterback in the history of high school quarterbacking to throw for over 10,000 yards in a career. Threw for like 11,000 yards. They just lined up in a shotgun. It wasn't like they were 5 yards back or 7 yards. They were like in punt formation. And they'd snap it back to him, and they'd just throw it all the time. It drove people crazy. If you remember the movie with Denzel Washington, where they had Denzel Washington was the head coach, and they went out into the woods, and they integrated a school. What was the name of the show? Come on, Clint, you know what I'm talking about.
Remember Undefeated. The Titans, Jordy?
That's it. Remember the Titans. It was like they were playing in the championship game, and that team came out in the shotgun, and the Titans were like, "Well, what is this? The NFL? What are they doing?" Well, that's what Evangel did, and he was at the same time that Jake Delhomme was doing his thing in Acadiana, and Peyton Manning was doing his thing down in New Orleans at Isidore Newman. That's a pretty good trifecta of quarterbacks. And he was so good in baseball that the money that baseball offered was too good to pass up. So he had the best of both worlds. He came in to LSU as a quarterback, as a millionaire. And so that's kind of tough for teammates to grab a hold of and to try to relate to. He was older than them, driving a fancy car, going out and eating good meals, and it was a trying, difficult time. And he had some success, he had some failures, but all in all, he was a good guy, and he really loved LSU, he loved Skip Bertman, but the money was too good. So I'm curious to talk to Josh Booty and share his thoughts on how it all transpired, what went into the decision, why did he come back, and how did the conversation go with LSU? How did that all happen? I think it'll be very, very interesting. And Andrew Lopez will join us as well, and we will talk some Pelicans from the Vegas Summer League. Yes, indeed. This hour of the program brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. There's over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They're open all the time. You want breakfast, they've got it. You want lunch, they've got it. You want some dinner samples, they've got it. All fresh, all made to order, all ready to go, and everything under the sun that you could ever imagine. ShopRite Tobacco Plus. Man, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you really can't shop right at all. You just can't. So 1 hour down. Really enjoyed talking with Matt Wyatt. We got a busy second hour, and it always begins with Hot Topics. CD joins me after this timeout. Hour number two, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. All the projections are coming in, and the expectations of LSU football soaring through the roof. One publication, well, we'll tell you where they feel the Tigers will end up. The NBA Summer League is in full strength, and the Pelicans, with some new breed of talent on their team, showed why they were worthy high draft picks. What is the SEC going to be like from the quarterback position? We'll have an expert analyst decide that? And we'll go back in the time machine. Where in the world is Josh Booty today? All these stories and more, jam-packed today, Tuesday, July 9th, 2019.
Alexander Walker, Williams, up top.
Nice play. A kid like that in college can get lost on a team because he's not an overly skilled guy. And college coaches are not going to run plays for him. But because he's athletic, he's long, and a natural talent just takes over.
Langeois with the mid-range. Zhou Qi with the board, and that might do it for China. Zhou Qi fouled, and the Chinese national team on the verge of a win here.
Oh. Heading towards the scoreboard up there in left field, and it hit way off, about midway through that scoreboard. For a 400, and here's another one in that direction. He's definitely put on the most impressive power show tonight.
Ah, welcome. Oh, the home run derby. I know he didn't win it, but he should have. Vlad Guerrero Jr. What a monster. What a show. It was great. Welcome. How are you? It is Tuesday, and it's great to be with you. Jordy Hultberg here. So thankful that you are there, along with my producer extraordinaire, CD, back in the 237 Roost Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB 1037 The Game, and around the world on 1037thegame.com. Major League Baseball takes center stage. It's the Midsummer Classic. Alex Bregman, DJ LeMahieu, lots of other Astros. Justin Verlander on the bump. So it's a fun, fun night. I'm so glad they did away with the winner gets home field advantage. I'm so glad they did away with that. It just really made no sense. It's supposed to be an all-star game. You let everybody play. You have fun. And you let the players do their thing. So I'm glad they got wise and got away from that one. You know, we have so much to offer thanks to the people behind the scenes that do so much work at 103.7 The Game with the website and everything that they do with it. We've got some preseason rankings online at 103.7thegame.com. And the old football power index is out, which factors into account a team's performance over the past four seasons, with the most emphasis on last season, returning starters at quarterback, on offense, on defense, whether a team has a returning head coach, and recruiting rankings over the past four seasons. Put that all in the blender, you spit it out, and you got Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, and LSU number 4. And then they run a simulation of 10,000 different scenarios, 10,000. And they come up with projections on games and wins and losses. Because they play against Alabama and because Georgia's in the same, it just shows you how tough the SEC is. LSU's chances of winning the SEC are slim, 11.4% due to the challenging schedule. But that early season showdown against Texas on the road in week two, this football power index gives LSU a 74.4% chance of beating Texas. Just goes to show you, you got to play Florida, Auburn, Mississippi State, Alabama, Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M. It's just brutal. But here's what they have. Georgia Southern, August 31st. That's 96.7% chance of winning. You know how this is going to go. At Texas, September 7th. LSU, according to the FPI, a 74.4% chance of winning. Week three, Northwestern State comes to town, and that's the, I don't know if you can get any higher than 99.8%. I don't know if anybody gets 100%, but 99.8% winning percentage on that one. On the road at Vanderbilt, LSU with an 84% chance to win that one. Utah State comes to Tiger Town. The Tigers should go 5-0 at that time with a 98% chance of winning versus Utah State. Finally, Florida comes to town after all those years in Gainesville, and the FPI has LSU going 6-0 with a 70.3% chance to beat Dan Mullen, Felipe Franks, and the rest of the game. You got to go to Mississippi State. Tough place to play of late. LSU going 7-0 with a 65.3% chance of winning. So, we'll see. That could be, you know, that's not much margin of error. Auburn comes to town, and LSU has a 71.8% chance. Going back, this FPI has LSU splitting between the Gators and the Bulldogs. So after they beat Auburn, they've got LSU at 7-1 overall. 7-1. It's always tough. Auburn, you know, they know each other well. Then you got to go to Alabama November the 9th. And, of course, that's where things, you know, and I'm just going to tell you like they say it. Alabama with LSU has a 25.2% chance of winning. And the word is, until LSU proves it can beat, heck, even score against Alabama, the computer simulation model isn't going to favor the Tigers in this matchup. It's always the toughest game of the season for LSU. That's just the way it is. Ole Miss, LSU goes to 8-2. They don't expect much on the road from the Rebels. LSU with an 83% chance of winning, a 94% chance of winning against Arkansas, and a 73.4% chance of winning versus A&M at home on November the 30th, having LSU finish the season at 10-2. I don't think LSU fans would be happy with 10-2 this year. I just don't. I think they would be upset if they lost to either Florida or Mississippi State. I think they expect to win every game, except when you have to go to Tuscaloosa. So that's just one projection. It just kind of shows you a difference one year can make. It just does. A proven quarterback. A head coach with 2 feet on the ground who's secure and not looking over his shoulder. A great defense. They're going to have that. With some star power. They may have as many as 4 first-round picks before it's all said and done if they all stay healthy. Another really good recruiting class. Schedule more favorable this year than it was a year ago, and they still won 10 games overall. This has LSU 10-2. They go to a good bowl game. They win that one. That's 11 wins. Then Tua leaves, and maybe, just maybe. Right? Maybe, just maybe. Well, you got to play the game. We'll see. But it just goes to show you that the projections are up there. And that's always a good thing. Let me tell you what we have on the program today. Will Guillory, the Athletic, will join us in just a few minutes. Summer League going on. Pelicans, we'll find out the latest. Say their draft choices all signed so they could go play. And Jackson Hayes had the dunk of the day. My goodness, I don't know if you saw it, but eyes at the level of the rim, elbow at the level of the rim, and arm almost to the top of the backboard. It is scary. Scary. So we'll talk about that with Will Guillory. Matt Wyatt will join us. He's our quarterback whisperer. How good is the league, the SEC, when it comes to quarterback play, and where does he have Joe Burrow ranked and his thoughts on Joe Burrow? Nobody breaks down quarterback play better than Matt Wyatt. Andrew Lopez will join us in hour number 2 after we do our daily Hot Topics segment, and then we'll check in. He was a superstar in high school, won every award, more going up against the likes of Jake Delhomme and Peyton Manning, was offered a signing bonus of $1.6 million to go play baseball for the newly formed Florida Marlins. He went and played baseball for 4 or 5 years, had enough, came back to play quarterback at LSU. Where in the world is Josh Booty today? We'll talk with him in hour number two. It's all coming your way. Sit back and relax. It's Tuesday. It's the dog days of summer, but we're going to make it happen here on the Jordy Helper Show, brought to you by ShopRite, Tobacco Plus discount outlets. Over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They keep on growing and growing. Why? Because people want them. Because they've got everything you need. Everything you need. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. When we come back, we'll get things started. Will Giller, the Athletic, in Viva Las Vegas. Talking hoops next. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game. 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
Who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. The Jordy Show on a Tuesday, bigger and better than ever. Dog days of summer are here. We're efforting to get to Will Guillory of the Athletic. He had a big, Vegas summer league. They had a big athletic meeting going on, and he may be detained just a little bit, but we will press on. Summer league going on, and you know, with these trades, it just got finalized. After, you know, everybody waiting for Kawhi, what's he going to do? When he finally commits and says he's going to the Clippers, then all the dominoes fall into place. So all the contracts are signed, and so Jackson Hayes and the rest can go join up with the summer league team. And they took on the Chicago Bulls. He hadn't practiced, hadn't done anything. He just shows up, and he goes up, and he showed his – now, look. He showed his versatility, showed some skills. It's summer league. It's the Chicago Bulls. It's not like you're playing the Milwaukee Bucks or Kawhi or LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, and you're not playing Denver or Portland or all the other great teams in the West. But still, it's a basketball play. And the fact that he was able to do that bodes very, very well. Clint, I think Will is ready now if you want to. Oh, no. Okay, never mind. It's all good. We'll do that another time. So we'll just fill in the time here with that. But it's just it shows you. Look, the Pels have depth, and it's going to be very interesting to see how Alvin Gentry utilizes this, because you can have two groups, and the second group that gets in your reinforcements, your non-starters, shouldn't fall that far below what the starters do. They should have enough scoring emphasis to earn the faith and the trust of the coaching staff. How many times in the past have you seen, you know, you take out this guy, you take out that guy, and there's no scoring punch, and you're trying to steal minutes in the course of a marathon season, and you just fall behind. Let me tell you about the West now. You get a bad 10-game stretch, you're done. You're out of it. You're not going to be able to compete. So that's just the way it goes. So to have depth is really, really good. Frank Jackson played himself out of summer league ball. He had 30 points in one game, and they said, we don't need to see you play anymore. we're not going to let all these other teams look at you and try to get you from us or getting a scouting report on you. So we're just going to kind of hide you. We don't need you to play in the summer league. Don't need Zion Williamson to play in the summer league. You're looking to fill spots on your G League team. And you're looking to see who else is out there playing and playing well. And that will help for the future. So it's a who's who type of thing out there. And it's amazing. You go back to that Friday night game last week with Zion playing in his first game. They had 20,000 people show up in a basketball arena for a glorified scrimmage. 20,000. And they were all there to see the number one pick. That's what this guy brings. The NBA will be so thankful. Every team in the league will be so thankful because when the Pelicans come to town, it'll be sold out. Because everybody wants to see this kid play. And you don't get to see that very, very often. However, the Pels are so much more than that. And we've got a soundbite here. David Griffin talking about, you know, he said he's trying to deflect pressure off of Zion. He's trying to deflect pressure. So he's called it time after time Drew Holiday's team. And Drew Holiday is in the prime of his career. And remember, his wife was going through a terrible, terrible illness, and he took a leave of absence. And the Pelicans were very faithful to him. They bent over backwards and honored him, kept paying him, and said, take all the time you need. He had a leave of absence. A leave of absence. And that stuck with Drew Holiday. And when he came back, he was a man possessed, and he's put back-to-back years together. And David Griffin pulled no punches. Listen to what he said about Drew Holiday. Listen up.
I do, and nobody thought Steve Nash was, and he was two-time MVP, and right. People would have thought we were insane for even uttering that notion. Players in this league are so gifted. When you're as good as Drew Holiday is, what makes you take the next step is just your vision of self. And sometimes you need to be given permission to dominate people. And in his situation with Anthony around, I think he was always sort of waiting as though it was Anthony's job. And now Drew knows it's his job, and he's ready to do that.
Ready to be an MVP. So once again, he wouldn't be saying this if he didn't think Drew Holiday would welcome it, accept the challenge, and go from there. Is David Griffin done? Maybe, maybe not. They still, you know, they've got 16 players on their roster right here, right now. You can only carry 15, and you're not going to play more than 10 at the most during a game. So something's going to happen, and what they do and how they come about it, there's no telling. No telling what they're going to do, but they're going to do something. But again, this isn't a team ready to win a Western Conference. This is a team that right here, right now, based upon what's going on in the West with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Denver Nuggets, the Portland Trail Blazers. I mean, there's the San Antonio Spurs. I know I'm leaving some teams out. Dallas is going to be better. Houston, I mean, there's a lot of spots available that are taken already. Oklahoma City is going to drop. There's no question they're going to drop. That would be the one team that made the playoffs that's not going to make the playoffs this year. Somebody can take their place. Who's that going to be? Might be the Pels. A lot of things have to fall into place. A lot of things. Zion has to be all that and then some. And Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram have to take quantum leaps in their game. Josh Hart has to come back, become that shooter that he was prior to his injury. Jahlil Okafor has to continue to come back and get better. Jackson Hayes has to make a leap. Frank Jackson has to get better. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to fall into place. A lot of things. They've got to get better defensively. They got to rebound the basketball. And outside shooters got to make shots. It's a catch-and-shoot league. Catch-and-shoot league. You got to shoot it. You got to make it. I like the Pels' chances. I like LSU's chances this year in the college football season. I really, really do. Again, preseason talk is wonderful. Expectations are great. You got to get through camp uninjured. You got to keep your key prospect, key players injury-free. And you got to get them ready for 12 Saturdays. Everything else doesn't matter. They got to be ready to go 12 Saturdays out of the year. And it all starts at the quarterback spot. And I think because LSU's returning a quarterback who ended the season as well as he did, the expectations have increased exponentially with him. At this time a year ago, Joe Burrow was just, wasn't even on campus. Now he's had a season under his belt, a spring under his belt, a fall and summer sessions continuing under his belt, and he's ready for another fall. Matt Wyatt is a quarterback whisperer. He'll tell us his thoughts on Joe Burrow and the rest of the quarterbacks in the SEC next here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
My heart is black and my lips are cold.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. The Jordy Hultberg Show brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. I call him the quarterback whisperer. He breaks down quarterback play and dissects it as well as anybody that does it in the business. He is the color analyst for the Mississippi State Bulldogs, and he does a whole bunch of other things as well. Kind enough, on his vacation with his toes in the sand, enjoying some fun and sun, to join us today, Matt Wyatt. Matt, I had no idea. Thank you so much, buddy. And pop open a cold one for me, will you?
Yeah, Jordy, I'm happy to do that. I sure am. You know, and I tell you what, it does my heart good anytime. You know, like I come on your show and you're playing Boston as the bumper coming back in. That's great. So I'm happy to join you all the way around.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank my producer extraordinaire for that one. But everybody is saying from top to bottom, the SEC is without doubt, hands down, the best conference in the country. That doesn't mean a certain team can't beat another team, but top to bottom. So I wanted to talk to the quarterback whisperer. So much depends upon the quarterback play. Top to bottom, how do you rank the quarterbacks coming into this season for the SEC?
Yeah, well, you don't beat around the bush, do you, Jordy? I mean, we're just going to get right to it.
Right to it, baby.
It's not as easy as I think, you know, people might think. I still think that Tua Tagovailoa is the number one passer, the number one playmaker in the league at that position. You know, just so impressed with him. And as it goes, you know, you have a hiccup or two in your second year in the league, and he didn't win a national championship this time, so now there are naysayers. But when you watch him over the long haul, the way he gets the ball out, the way it's on time, the way it's accurate, you know, I think he's number one. But Jake Fromm is a winner. He's right up there. That kind of goes without saying. And those two guys have such great players around him.
Let me ask you a question about Tua.
Okay.
Now that Jalen Hurts is gone, not that he ever looked over his shoulder, but did he look over his shoulder maybe once or twice?
Well, you know, I guess depending on personality, Jordy, that's always a possibility. You know, and we all approach things differently in life. You know, you're different than me. I'm different than you. You'd have to really know those guys. Here's the way I think those kinds of things play out more often than not, though, and that is competition is good. And I don't care if it's uncomfortable. Sometimes uncomfortable competition is the best competition you can have, especially a quarterback. And I think that's what they had at times at Alabama. I mean, don't you think that was obvious? I know you remember, you know, the first time in forever that an Alabama player had said anything to the media that wasn't flattering about his own coaching staff, and
that's what
Jalen Hurts did. So, yeah, okay, fine, it's uncomfortable, but if I'm a coach, I kind of want it to be that way. I want it to be heated. I don't want it to be nasty and divide people, but I want you to really desire and want to beat the other guy, because that means you're going to be better. And so my only question is, without Jalen Hurts there applying the pressure, what's this offseason going to be like for Tua? You know, how heated is that going to be? I think the dynamic they had was actually a good thing for Alabama in the past.
Matt Wyatt, kind enough to join us. You mentioned the two quarterbacks, and that's, I think, with the SEC Media Days rapidly approaching next week, you're going to have Alabama picked as the favorite in the West. You're going to have Georgia picked as the favorite in the East, and they've got the two best quarterbacks. Now is when it becomes interesting from there. And who do you have as your third best quarterback going into the league this year?
Yeah, that is a really fun conversation to have, because you got some great players that are maybe up for that spot. But, you know, there's a couple of guys that I really like that I think probably don't get enough credit. And they're guys who are returning, and Joe Burrow at LSU is one of those.
Okay.
And the other, I think, Felipe Franks at Florida, part of that is, yeah, I'm doing some projecting in my own head. I realize that. At times last year, you know, not flashy or fantastic, but really solid. I felt like I saw Felipe Franks getting better. I felt like he was better at the end of the year than he was at the beginning. You know, you go watch him in that loss early on to Kentucky, and then watch the tape of that win over Michigan. Even though the numbers aren't huge, he's a different quarterback from a confidence standpoint at the end of the year. So the reason I say I'm projecting a little bit on Felipe Franks is because I know what Dan Mullen does with quarterbacks. Everybody that has played quarterback for Dan Mullen over the last 10 to 15 years improves every year. Everybody that plays quarterback for Dan Mullen plays better than people expect them to. And I think Felipe Franks is going to be no different. And, Jordy, what I really like about Joe Burrow is I just see a winner. You know, he was never that 350, 400-yard a game guy. I know he had a big game passing against Rice, a big one against UCF, but for the most part, they didn't ask him to go out there and throw it 30 times and throw for 350 yards, but he did what they needed him to do, and he was a bounce-back guy, a tough guy. You know, he's on the road in his first ever SEC game at Auburn, down with 2 minutes left. He gets popped on a third down play at midfield, Auburn celebrating, and what does Joe Burrow do? He stands back in there on fourth down against pressure, throws a strike, complete for a first down, kick a field goal, and win. And then later in the year, Joe he's at Florida. They got a chance to do the same thing, go win with a field goal, and he throws a pick six. Florida wins the game. How did he respond? The very next week, he leads them to a win over Georgia. You know, and he wasn't flashy in the Georgia game. What he was just he made plays. And I just see a guy who's tough. I think his team believes in him, and I think that if he makes another step this year, just in terms of consistency and hits a few more plays, I think he could easily be that third guy in the conference.
Dude, for 57.8%, I know LSU wants to get him into the 60s somehow, some way. Nearly 2,900 yards, 16 touchdowns to only 5 picks.
Yep.
That's a pretty good ratio, and he – As he got a little bit healthier, and as his backup, Miles Brennan, got healthier, they kind of turned him loose a little bit. And against A&M and UCF in the Fiesta Bowl, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was
really
good. And, you know, and again, made clutch plays, like when you're up against it in an overtime game against A&M. And you can't really – it's hard to measure clutch, but your teammates feel it. You know, they know it. And I felt like, Jordy, two things that you're touching on. When he won that game at Auburn, I felt like from then on, like everybody in that locker room is on board. This is our guy. We're playing with this guy. And you have to have that atmosphere in order to go win. What do? They won 10 games. And then the other thing is, you know, leading in the off season, and he's doing that also. Another thing that Joe did, I watched the tape. there are a lot of times when he's standing in the pocket, eyes downfield, about to make a throw, even though he's getting pressured and going to get hit, but he never shied away from contact, and it didn't break down his footwork, and teammates respect that. And keep this in mind. You talk about the 58% completion. You know, how many times is he throwing easy completions on bubble screens?
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of guys who can go out here and throw 65% when 10 of my 20 completions are behind the line of scrimmage.
That's
so
true.
I liked what he did within their scheme and what they were asking him to do.
You played the position. He's getting a new set of eyes and a new set of thoughts from Joe Brady, who, I mean, if you're going to learn how to play offense, it's pretty good to go with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Yeah. And this RPO thing is coming into play, I think. And the fact that he did what he did coming into fall camp. He didn't have a summer. He didn't have all that. He's one of these grad transfer guys. It's kind of remarkable what he did. And I believe, and I agree with you, there's something about that guy that got that your teammates will run through a wall for. And I think that's what he has earned. And I'm with you. I like what he brings.
I like it, too. And, you know, at LSU, you're always going to have a roster that is loaded enough that in order to win, you don't have to be the star at quarterback.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. And look, man, when you have that group of running backs and you got those receivers coming in every year, and you're loaded on defense every year, your teammates respect that as a quarterback, you recognize, look, my job is to just, number one, take care of the ball and get it in the hands of everybody else. It's not to be the star. My job is not to draw attention. And that's the way I see Joe going about his business. And I have so much respect for that. And you're right. An offseason, a spring, all of that. I don't think the RPO stuff's going to be any problem for him because he ran it in high school. His high school numbers are through the roof. And I'll tell you this, Jordy. After I posted the Joe Burrow film study video, I got a comment on the YouTube channel from a guy that said, hey, I coached against Joe Burrow in high school, and he might be the smartest high school player that we ever faced. And, you know, when you have that reputation.
I'll take that.
In an RPO offense, man, you'll take that all day.
I'll take that. Matt Wyatt, kind enough to join us. Let's talk about at your place with a Louisiana native, Keaton Thompson, under you know Joe Moorhead, ranked as one of the best offensive coordinators in college football prior to getting the gig in Starkville. What do you see in Thompson? How big of a step do you think he's going to make this year?
Well, I'll tell you, Jordy, a lot of people are kind of just automatically counting him out in their conversation. I say a lot of people. I mean out in the media and on message boards and stuff. A lot of people count him out because they went out and brought in Tommy Stevens, this one-year grad transfer from Penn State. I don't think it's wise to count him out because you've seen it. Keaton, at every level he's ever played, he just scores points.
He gets them
in the end zone. And every chance they've given him at State, as a freshman, he had to start in the bowl game against Lamar Jackson at Louisville because Nick Fitzgerald was hurt. And he outplayed Lamar Jackson in a bowl win. To start last season, Nick Fitzgerald was suspended for one game. Keaton started the game to begin the year last year. He accounted for 7 touchdowns. He ran 2 and threw 5. It wasn't always pretty, and sometimes it was risky, and he just kind of maybe got lucky on a throw or two. He just gets them in the end zone. So I think to count him out is silly. I think that it's not coach speak that they really do want a heightened competition at that position, and I don't think they felt like they had anybody old enough yet in that room already that could challenge Keaton and push him. And so I think that's one of the big things that you can watch at State. It's a sure enough competition at that position. It's not granted to anybody, and it'll be week to week in August.
Yeah. Matt Wyatt, kind enough to join us. One more, we'll get you out of here. You talked about how effective Dan Mullen is in getting quarterbacks to improve year by year. A lot of people say the same thing about Jimbo Fisher, one of the best quarterback gurus in college football. Kellen Mond showed some marked improvement last fall. Is he ready to take another step forward? Because that makes A&M really dangerous.
Yeah, I think he probably is. One thing that I don't know this, I'm not in their room, but I would guarantee you that one thing Jimbo is really preaching and working on with Kellen is being comfortable in the pocket and being okay with getting hit. You know, if you're going to play college football at that position, getting hit by opposing players can't be something that bothers you.
That's
it's
right.
Got to be, you know, part of the game. And what you see with Kellen is a guy who, yes, because he can really run and knows it, sometimes he wants to leave too quick. Other times he wants to kind of adjust what he's doing back there and the timing on throws based on whether or not he's getting pressured. You kind of have to be like Joe Burrow. You got to stand in there and just get hit and throw it and then pop back up. And, yeah, it hurts, but it feels a lot better if you complete it. They're working on him, I think, to become more of that steadfast guy, stand in there, run the plays we call, and we're not going to, you know. And the other thing is, too, throwing the ball into traffic. So they've got, you know, some stuff that they can improve with him. Jimbo's a guy who, right, like a lot like Dan Mullen, a lot of pressure on his guys in practice because he wants the game to be a lot easier than practice. And that's one thing that Mullen and Jimbo Fisher both have in common.
Well, it should be interesting. A lot of good quarterbacks, a lot of good teams in this thing. Yeah, I don't know. It should be a wild ride, man. And that LSU Texas game, second week of the season,
it's
got a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that one because you got everything. You got a Texas team that beat Georgia in a bowl game. Yeah, Georgia was kind of disinterested, but still, it's a good Texas team improving. And you're at their place, and frankly, Joe Burrow has shown, he showed it last year, we'll go on the road in front of 80,000 in Auburn and other places, and we'll go beat you. So I can't wait for that one.
Yeah. Just tell me what it looks like from your view right here, right now. Just tell me what you're looking at, please. Break my heart.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Okay, so, you know, white sandy beaches on the Alabama coast. I have come back into the air conditioning and looking out the window because it's brutally hot, as you well know.
Yes.
And we got a little thunder shower coming in from the west, blowing in here, going to cool us off, going to eat some lunch, and then head right back out there and, you know, send sunscreen. Forward any sunscreen you have. I need it all.
Oh, don't wear that Mississippi State hat inside the Floribama, okay? They may not like you there.
If you find me in the Floribama, things have gone way sideways, Jordy. I promise you.
We can't relive our youth. We cannot relive our youth. Come on.
No, my back reminds me of that every day. We cannot relive it.
Matt, have a great vacation, and we look forward to talking to you when LSU and the Bulldogs tee it up. It's always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure too, Jordy. See you.
Take care, Matt Wyatt. Kind enough to join us on his vacation. We're going to take a time out. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one, the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana's sports station.
You're listening to the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
Welcome back. 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, Matt Wyatt had some good things to say about Joe Burrow. That's awesome. Clint, I got to ask you a question. Did you see that the Best of Acadiana came out? All kinds of topics and restaurants and health care and dog care and all kinds of. They didn't have our show on there, man. What's wrong with them?
I don't know,
they
Jordy.
A category.
I don't know, Jordy. We're gonna have to talk to them for 2020 to have that. You know.
Yeah, I mean, gee whiz, gotta have best sports talk show out
exactly,
there.
Exactly. You know, I think we could definitely 103.7 The Game would sweep that hands down.
Maybe that's why they did it. Didn't do it. They didn't want to have total domination. That's all I can think of. Anyway, got some interesting things, though. I mean, I got to go to Rockin' Bowl. That sounds like fun. You ever been there?
I have not been there. I don't normally go out downtown, but I definitely – that's on the list of things I need to go wind up doing in the not-too-distant future.
Best live music. You can bowl and listen to good live music. Man, that sounds like fun. Anyway – the advertiser came out with the best of Acadiana. They got about a million categories. No best sports radio show, sports talk show. They didn't have a category for it. I got to go talk to them. I got to give them a piece of my mind and figure out what it's all about. Looking forward to talking to Josh Booty in hour number two. He was back in 1993, he was quarterback at Evangel High School. He was the first high school quarterback in the history of high school quarterbacking to throw for over 10,000 yards in a career. Threw for like 11,000 yards. They just lined up in a shotgun. It wasn't like they were 5 yards back or 7 yards. They were like in punt formation. And they'd snap it back to him, and they'd just throw it all the time. It drove people crazy. If you remember the movie with Denzel Washington, where they had Denzel Washington was the head coach, and they went out into the woods, and you know they integrated a school. What was the name of the show? Come on, Clint, you know what I'm talking about.
Remember the Titans, Jordy.
That's it. Remember the Titans. It was like they were playing in the championship game, and that team came out in the shotgun, and the Titans were like, "Well, what is this? The NFL? What are they doing?" Well, that's what Evangel did, and he was at the same time that Jake DeLone was doing his thing in Acadiana, and Peyton Manning was doing his thing down in New Orleans at Isadore Newman. That's a pretty good trifecta of quarterbacks. And he was so good in baseball that the money that baseball offered was too good to pass up. So he had the best of both worlds. He came in to LSU as a quarterback, as a millionaire. And so that's kind of tough for teammates to grab a hold of and to try to relate to. He was older than them, driving a fancy car, going out and eating good meals, and it was a trying, difficult time. And he had some success, he had some failures, but all in all, he was a good guy, and he really loved LSU, he loved Skip Bertman, but the money was too good. So I'm curious to talk to Josh Booty and share his thoughts on how it all transpired, what went into the decision. Why did he come back, and how did the conversation go with LSU? How did that all happen? I think it'll be very, very interesting. And Andrew Lopez will join us as well, and we will talk some Pelicans from the Vegas Summer League. Yes, indeed. This hour of the program brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. There's over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They're open all the time. You want breakfast, they've got it. You want lunch, they've got it. You want some dinner samples, they've got it. All fresh, all made to order, all ready to go, and everything under the sun that you could ever imagine. ShopRite Tobacco Plus. Man, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you really can't shop right at all. You just can't. So 1 hour down. Really enjoyed talking with Matt Wyatt. We got a busy second hour, and it always begins with Hot Topics. CD joins me after this timeout. Hour number two, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.